Hello there, Rebel fans. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Rob Misch coming to you from our room down in the Metroplex of Dallas-Fort Worth, the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area called the Metroplex.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
We're not that deep in Texas, though.
No, but it sounded good. This is my voice. My voice is really good.
And you don't have the twang.
Right. It'll come. I've got to get some more boots.
You were close to pulling the trigger on a new pair of boots yesterday.
No, they were ripoffs. Mexican wannabes.
Boy, I thought I saw you eyeing them. I guess not. I was eyeing a cowboy hat.
But they were all artificial. They were ripoffs and all the same price. I'll get the real things back in Vegas.
Anyway, what we're really down here in Texas for was some hoops. We took some in today. UNLV falls to TCU, their third loss of the season, 80-73 at the Daniel Meyer Coliseum, in front of a crowd which was listed at 39-24, maybe a little less than that. But boy, UNLV, there's so many ways to go with talking about this game today, and I would guess we might as well start at the start. Lon Kruger goes with a smaller lineup right from go. He puts a he said after the game that Trevon Willis had kind of played well enough to earn himself a spot in the starting lineup, even when Wink Adams came back in the starting lineup, which was today.
And which was the case, yeah.
And he replaced Darius Santee, so UNLV goes with a smaller lineup. But on top of that, Santee only winds up playing 6 minutes. Bryce Masamba, his primary backup, never takes off his warm-ups. And in return, UNLV kind of, they get out-rebounded, they get outscored in the paint 32-14, and TCU kind of was able to do whatever it wanted offensively most of the day.
Yeah. Let's just back up just to make it real clear. Wink Adams started for the first time since injuring his ab muscle on December 23. And he was in the starting lineup, and Darius Santee wasn't. And like you said, Kruger, I don't know what kind of faith he's lost in the big men, but the big men did not play tonight. But you know what? That's not such an egregious thing, because we've watched this team develop so far this season, and you and I have almost all but said that their best lineup is the lineup he started with.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a given. The big guys haven't been producing, and it was just very emphatic tonight. And New Mexico pummeled them on the boards. They lost the battle of the boards for a 10th time in their past 13 games. There's nothing new there. That's nothing such a new pattern or trend. Go back to last season. UNLV fans are going to remember Dogger playing center all the time. They were small. They gutted it out. The flip side is you take a bunch of three-pointers, and if you miss them, you get some long rebounds, which nullifies your lack of height down low. So that's a sort of a neutralizer. But good old Jim Christian had some tricks of his own up his sleeve tonight.
Yeah, you at TCU, really only a couple days to prepare for this game. They made some tweaks to their set plays, and whatever tweaks those were really allowed TCU to find a nice balance on the offensive end.
Yeah.
UNLV, we talked about shooting a lot of threes. You know, they had 23 field goal attempts in the first half. 19 of them were three-point attempts.
Oh, all or nothing.
Three of four from inside the arc before halftime. But as for TCU, 30 of 53, 56.6% from the floor tonight. Only hit 6 three-pointers. They were, like we said, they were getting in the paint a lot. Kevin Langford, Zvonko Bouillon, they were going inside and out all night, and UNLV really they just had a tough time dealing with it.
Well, the big thing, Christian was, he tweaked his, and you gotta give him so much credit. He had 2 days to really change up the way he was going to attack UNLV. He did it in many different ways. I pressed him and kept pressing him to try to get specifically what he wanted to do. And basically, it revolved around they wanted to really penetrate. They wanted to get their one-on-one guys, their guys who were best at one-on-one moves. They wanted to get them solo and have them take it to the hole. Now, remember, they wanted to do this with a center present for UNLV. So they were planning on doing this at Santee, at Masamba. The fact that UNLV started small sort of played right into his hands.
Yeah, and they did get a lot of favorable one-on-one matchups. They penetrated so well. I mean, when was the last time this year we saw a team penetrate like that on UNLV, really?
Well, we've seen people do it pretty regularly, but not in such abundance.
Yeah. It might not be that effective with it, I guess, from start to finish. I mean, they're really their cold spells offensively Their biggest one that we can think of was that stretch in the second half where UNLV goes on an 8-0 run, goes up 57-48, and TCU comes right back with a 15-0 run of its own, where they went inside and out, I believe hit two threes in that stretch.
Right.
They just crashed inside, and they just made it happen in a lot of ways. And UNLV was really kept on its toes. Only got two steals tonight.
Right, and no block shots. In fact, for only the second time since he became a starter about a year ago, Rene Rougeau had a game in which he had no blocks and no steals. So he was not his all-around effective active body. But going back to that 15-0 run that TCU had, that really decided the game right there. Granted, it came down to the last minute. It came down to certain free throws. UNLV did tie it. But once TCU rattled off that 15-0 run, it never trailed again.
Yeah.
And that sort of typified what the game was all about. Buljan hit that three top of the key on Santee. Well, you know, Santee only played 6 minutes, but the time he did play, he wasn't that effective. And you and I both saw on that particular play,
yep,
he was lost down low. He was picked, and he didn't know right from left.
He got picked up top, and he was trying to execute a switch.
I'm sorry, right, he was on top.
He turned around, and without even looking for his man, just dove for the post, just went sprinting for the post. Buljan stayed up top.
Yep.
He gets the ball. By the time Santee turns around, that ball's in the air, and it was a three. And you know, it was a funky run in the sense that, you know, look back at the 8-0 run that UNLV had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adams hits that three with a hand in his face. Rougeau gets the hoop with the foul. And then Rougeau gets two off of a great hustle play by Joe Darger, where he got on the floor in between two Horned Frogs, rolled over on top of one of them with the ball, and kind of just flipped a pass up to Rougeau, who lays it in.
But there's a lot of slop going on in that play.
And, you know, at that point, you know, UNLV's really figuring it out. The crowd that was on hand is starting to say, oh, here we go. UNLV really missed the golden opportunity to step on the throat right there. That was probably the golden opportunity of the day.
It was, but, you know, TCU was ready. They beat Texas Tech Tuesday night. Quick turnaround. Switch things up a bit. Can't say enough about Jim Christian.
Yeah. And, well, we're going to hear what Lon Kruger and a couple of his players, Wink Adams, Joe Darger, had to say after this one. Guys, take it away.
Just need to, you know, we need to rebound the ball better, you know, and even though we're smaller, Trey's been rebounding the ball for us, Joe's been rebounding the ball for us. We got to keep thinking about, you know, rebounding the ball a bit more aggressively. You know, shooting wasn't the problem. You know, it was the fact that they shot it well, too,
mm-hmm,
you know, which is certainly a major problem because if you give up that, you know, percentage of shooting, you know, it's going to be tough to win. They got a lot of weapons. They do a good job, and again, we didn't take much away. Mm-hmm. It's a case of where Trey's been playing pretty well,
yeah,
you know, so when comes back, mm-hmm, you got to take someone out and,
yeah,
and let Trey earn the opportunity to stay in there. And,
okay.
And no, it's not a major deal.
Yeah. Our defense of intensity wasn't up where we needed it to be, and they let them do whatever they wanted to do. So we gave up way too many baskets, and I think it really came down to the defensive end of the game. Yeah, definitely disappointing anytime you lose, and definitely from not learning from the whole week of practice. That's all we drilled was defense, and we came out here and still let them do what they wanted to do. So, you know, they're a much better TCU team than in the past, and you know, they outworked us.
I wouldn't say it hurt us. You know, we just didn't come out and really play defense how we wanted to. They got a lot of things that they want down low, and we just got to get better as a team. You know, tonight, you know, we just really didn't execute our game plan. As first we did, but we didn't do it for 40 minutes how we planned on doing it. No, you know, tonight, you know, the whole thing, you know, I was just making plays, you know, getting shots for Joe and Kendall, you know. And, you know, the first half, you know, they hit a lot of shots, you know. It was just, you know, the first half they shot it good, you know. It was just the second half, you know, guys kind of struggled to hit shots and, you know, we missed a lot of free throws. Yeah, it's always disappointing to get a loss, but, you know, back in the home state is always tougher, but, you know, just something you got to bounce back from and get better from.
That was what the UNLV coaches and players had to say. Here's TCU coach Jim Christian talking about today's 80-73 Horned Frogs victory over UNLV in Fort Worth.
We just went back to our regular defense and rotated a little bit better, and they still hit some big time shots. I mean, they're a great basketball team that's used to winning and used to winning in tough environments. So you knew, that we had to do something to try to neutralize them. That's nothing to do with this team. I mean, there's a bunch of guys at Kent State that would like to play this game again. But this is a great basketball team we played tonight. UNLV is a great program. Kruger's a Hall of Fame coach, in my opinion. And, it's just rewarding for this basketball team to go out there and find a way to win a conference game. It was big because, this is a team that can get away from you quickly because they're such an explosive offensive team. And, we had to be resilient and we had to get back one possession at a time, and that's what we did. I mean, if you're going to try to compete for the title here, you have to win at home. We won a home game. I mean, we beat a fantastic basketball team, but we have to try to find a way to win at home if you're going to compete for the championship.
All right. Well, let's look a little deeper into this game. I guess the obvious thing that a lot of people are going to want to talk about are the big men. It seemed like they were maybe finding a stride with those guys. Not really all that long ago, that Santa Clara, Arizona stretch, those guys were playing some effective minutes. But, Darius Santee is in a tough stretch right now, only 6 points in his last five games. You just got Bryce Masamba. It looked like he was starting to figure it out around Christmas time, and he's kind of maybe regressed a little bit. You almost got to think there's got to be something going on here.
Where's Biaz when you need him?
he's in Piscataway. That's where he was this afternoon.
Even assistant coach Lou Hill told us in the layover in Chicago, coming back from Louisville, that Santee maybe hadn't even been living up to the standards that Lou Hill wanted. I think he wanted 9-6, maybe an average. That would have been good for him, and Santee was below that. But they were still positive, and they were still reinforcing the fact that they could get stuff out of him and that he was very serviceable, more than serviceable. And so today really, really comes through as a big regression. The fact that it shows that there, at least for this game, there was not much faith in that low post game when they needed it and when they could have used it. And 6 minutes between the two of them, Bryce Masamba, the first time as a Rebel, doesn't get off the bench. That might have lingering effects. And we actually saw that develop maybe a few days ago. In practice Thursday, Bryce was not with the regular rotation. He was with the scouts. And you saw that first.
Yeah, you kind of noticed that Rob Ketchum was with the regulars, kind of rotating in and out. And it's very interesting to wonder what exactly is going on here. Is there something maybe below the surface that we don't know about? Yeah. That's something that we'll be looking into this week.
Exactly.
But the other thing to think about with this, I had a chance to grab Darius on his way to the bus really quick. I kind of asked him if it was something that, maybe bothered him a little, if it was a loss that bothered him maybe a little more than usual because he really didn't play much. And he talked about, he agreed and said there were some things that he noticed. I guess you kind of get a different perspective on where the team is struggling, when you're watching it from the bench as opposed to seeing it develop in front of your face.
Right.
And, one thing he talked about was the help defense down in the post, which, without a true big man down there isn't always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. And maybe that'll help. I don't know. I think some people at UNLV are still trying to figure out what makes him tick and how to get him in a fifth gear. He always seems to be kind of placid in a second gear. He's a guy of very few words, very few emotions. And maybe he just needs a good kick, and maybe this was something that is a wake-up call. We'll have to see, and we'll have to see if, what the trickle-down effect is with Bryce Masamba also.
And you really wonder, is it in his demeanor to where he can get that edge? That I think Kruger and Lou Hill at this point in his junior in his first season as a Rebel were really hoping would be showing through.
Which one, Bryce or Darius?
Darius.
Yeah, I know, I'm being facetious.
Yeah. That's
actually
true.
Somebody actually wrote a couple weeks ago wondering if I have ever seen Bryce dunk. Valid question.
Yep.
He's never dunked in a game, not that he's had that long of a UNLV career so far. We're not even at the midway point of his first season. He did not dunk that much at Finley last season because he was injured. He was not 100%. But newsflash, front page headlines. Thursday practice, he did dunk.
Isn't that weird when you see a 6'10" guy who you get to see in practice every day dunk for the first time in January?
I'm pretty sure it was for the first time. That's unofficial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's about as close to official as you'll find.
Yeah. Hey, how about Wink Adams?
Yeah, Wink Adams back in the starting lineup for the first time. You know, he went 3 of 11 from the floor. He struggled, 2 of 8 from long distance, 1 of 4 from the free throw line, but career high 9 assists. You know, the guards really didn't play bad today.
No.
You know, Trevon Willis, who Kruger talked about playing, you know, he played his way into earning that starting spot. He had a pretty good game. Only 2 of 6 from the floor, but, you know, both those field goals were big threes in the first half. 5 of 7 from the line on a day where a lot of guys struggled from the line. 11 points, 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. So, you know, do you think this is something we see maybe regularly with these two playing side by side in the in the starting lineup?
I think so. I think last game, didn't Trey lead him with 15 against New Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's establishing himself. You know, I think he's caught in no man's land. He wants to be that point guard, do everything, but he's stronger at scoring. So what's that happy medium there? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he's still trying to figure it out. I'm not so sure if the ball needs to be in his hands that frequently. However, that's an anomaly because tonight Oscar Belfield has some sort of tweaked hamstring, so he only played 22 minutes. So the ball needed to be in Trayvon's hands. And you're right, you know, 5 of 7 from the line. The rest of the team went 3 for 9, so you can't really blame Trayvon for too much of the ills for tonight.
Yeah, and Oscar only played 22 minutes, like you said, 7 points. He tweaked it, you know, we were sitting across the court from the UNLV bench, and we were thinking that maybe he, because he's had some issues with leg cramps at times this season, and we were wondering if maybe that was the issue. He was stretching out like it was cramps.
Right.
And he came back for just a couple minutes, came right back out pretty much.
Well,
and,
remember, this was he was out during a lot of that 15-0 run.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder what the correlation there is. You know, we saw a lot of, again, Matador defense by a lot of Rebels. You know, they should get the application into Madrid for bullfighting school.
They were wearing the red uniforms today.
They were.
They even wore red sneakers.
Right.
You should point that out.
That's right. Good point. Let's go back to Wink, though, for a little bit. I talked to his mother afterward, right after the game, to see what she noticed in him as far as was he his old self? Did she see anything? Was he hesitant? Was he 90%? She thought that he was same old self. She thought nothing really looked different. Mm. I pressed her on the fact that one of the last things that Wink really wanted to test himself in is just penetrating the line. We didn't see that a lot in New Mexico. Yeah. He was hesitant. Even tonight in warmups, it seemed like he was kind of grabbing his abdomen a little bit, once with each hand, kind of feeling it out. Maybe it looked like maybe he had turned the wrong way. He didn't really know what to think, or maybe he didn't know what to think. Mm. But he has one of his coaches from Gulf Shores Academy was here, and he said that Wink spent too much time penetrating and dishing, that another guard should have been in there penetrating and dishing out to Wink, because Wink, getting his conditioning back, he'd expend too much energy going through the lane trying to set up for others, when in fact he should have been kind of peering from the outside waiting for the dish outs from him. But then again, Oscar was injured, so...
Yeah, and that's the thing. Wink even said after the game that's what he was trying to do, was to penetrate and dish out to other guys. He was kind of thinking that way today, right, which was a little odd. But, you know, like we said, he wound up with 9 assists, and, you know, that first half they hit 10 three-pointers, and he had 7 assists. So,
well,
he was,
you know,
so what it was that he set out to do, he was doing.
True, and I pressed Wink on that, too. Yeah. I said, hey, listen, you told me the other day the one thing you really wanted to see and test yourself was penetrating and driving. And although we didn't see him use his strength and drive and jump and use his body against other bodies, where he is usually quite adept at getting those three-point plays, he didn't exactly do that, but he did say, I have no problems. I am 100%. I created today. I'm fine with how I played.
Yeah.
Not that was his sole purpose, because he's pretty bummed at going 6-1 in the state of Texas. He wanted an undefeated collegiate record in his home state.
Yeah, that did bother him a little bit.
Yep.
And if there's a guy who wears pride in his home state on his sleeve, it's him, because he literally does.
Yeah, no question, no question. And he's 15-1 against Texas teams now too. So this will be a little scarlet letter or purple letter three letters, TCU, huh?
Yeah, something that he looks to get some revenge on maybe on February 10th when the Horned Frogs make the return trip up to the MAC. And speaking of which, let's spin this forward a little bit because UNLV's now got a got an interesting little stretch in the schedule. They'll be at Colorado State on Wednesday night. You know, I mean, on paper, looks like a nice opportunity to lick some wounds, and then you get Wyoming at home on Saturday, and then that first Utah stretch. They go to BYU a week from Wednesday, home for Utah the following Saturday. But let's not go that far ahead. Let's talk about Colorado State first. You know, what do you think? I mean, it's obviously a team that's struggling this year. If there's a time for the big guys to bust out, they might really need to get that going on Wednesday.
Yeah, they might. This game tonight started a stretch of 4 of 6 on the road, a place that used to not so long ago look so comfortable to the Rebels. The road is now looking kind of daunting.
Yeah,
they are fortunate in the fact that Colorado State is next. They are what, they're 0-17 in the conference last season, so. Maybe the opponent will be right. Maybe the timing will be right for them to figure things out. And maybe the best thing of all will be the fact that it's kind of a quick turnaround. They play Wednesday. They don't have these weak stretches anymore where they can linger and fester and maybe let some bad habits continue. This is probably the best thing for this team.
They really don't have one of those until, if you look way ahead, the end of the season almost. They go between February 5th and March 4th. That's when they get their one weekend off of the conference schedule. It's the second to last weekend of the season. So now they get into a nice stretch where they're playing a midweek game, a weekend game, midweek game, weekend game.
Yeah,
the rest of the way.
Yeah,
but you know they really need, and it's good that they get into that rhythm because they really got to get some kind of a rhythm going. Because you know we were talking about this about an hour ago. When was the last time that this team really had a no doubter? You know, I mean, even you look at some of those recent wins, the Southern Utah game. You know, Southern Utah was firing away at the end, and Lon Kruger wasn't happy with the defensive intensity. Arizona was one of those, but. You know, almost every game they've had before, they really haven't had that no doubter. Where the best example is, you were saying, maybe a chance to get Deshaun Mitchell in there for 6-7 minutes in the end of the second half, and a game where they really are comfortable rolling along, and maybe this is a chance on Wednesday to get something like that going.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot remains to be seen. You know, it's such a herky jerky, skittish season so far. We have another word that we can't exactly say that we've been talking a lot about. It starts with a B, and we won't go anywhere from there on. But you know, it's a team that you know they started feeling good about themselves against Santa Clara. They wallop Arizona. Wink gets the injury against Southern Utah. That was a little bit of a regression. You know, the crowd, what a hush over the crowd.
And then they're off for 8 days.
And then they play Louisville for the big game against New Year's Eve. So that was a great stretch. They were starting to find themselves. But, you know, probably the worst thing about that was the fact that Wink started off poorly, and he just started to find his stride against Arizona.
Yep.
And bam, all of a sudden, he's down on the court. He's got an abdominal strain, and it's just another little setback where he's got to kind of regain his conditioning, regain his touch, and they've got to regain their chemistry.
Well, this is the stretch to do it. Like we said, they need to build some confidence up going into BYU in a couple weeks because that game's creeping up pretty fast.
Another team plays BYU real soon, and that would be this TCU team. That's going to be a very interesting game to watch because Jim Christian was nothing less than awesome to watch in his game planning. He won the chess match big time against Lon Kruger today. Quick turnaround, made his tweaks in the lineup. You know, one thing that UNLV really prepared against was TCU does some fine things off their inbounds passes.
Yeah.
There's about three or four of them that UNLV really, really pounded into their guys. Take this away. Take this away. What did Christian do today? He tweaked every one of them. He did a lot of baseline jumpers, simple things, tweaks. He almost turned it on their ears, and it totally flummoxed UNLV. So, boy, TCU got a good one in Jim Christian.
Well, tell me this before we get out of here and make our way back to Vegas. Do you look at TCU as a legitimate threat in the Mountain West right now? 11-5 overall, 2-0 in league. They've got a pretty impressive looking resume so far this year.
They
considering the recent body of work in the last few years.
They're so young and so new players, but they are buying into it. You know, did you notice the T-shirts they are wearing in warmups?
Mm-hmm.
Trust the system.
Yep.
It's a heck of a system. It's early, but it sure is a heck of a system. It's been a great week for them. They go to Texas Tech and win. They upend UNLV. BYU will be a very fine test. Can they keep it in single digits? I think so.
And they'll, you know, that's a team that's going to beat. So they're going to beat a couple more teams that maybe a lot of people don't think they will.
Yeah, you know, they're so easy to overlook with their recent seasons. They can't be overlooked anymore.
Yep, and this one will certainly turn some heads.
Yep.
Well, any final comments before we make our way back to reality?
I think the crowd, you know, a crowd of almost 4,000. I would have sworn there was 5,000 in there.
Yeah, right. That place holds 5,000? Anyway, for Rob the Python Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you on Wednesday in Fort Collins. Looking forward to it. Take care.